we are up to Perek Yud. We now begin the historical part of Divrei Hayamim. Okay, Pasuk Aleph, Plishtim Nilchamu V'Yisrael. The Plishtim battled against the Jewish people. Vayonas Ish Yisrael Mipnei Plishtim. And the Nei Yisrael, the Ish Yisrael, that's a, you know, the whole Klal Yisrael is personified one in the singular, the Ish Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael, they fled. Bibnei Philistim, Vayiplu Chalolim Behar Gilboa. And the battle of Har Gilboa, this was the Plishtim they fought against Shaul. Shaul was, at this point in time, Shaul was the king, and his men fell in the place called Gilboa, Behar Gilboa. Okay, Pasuk Beis, that Yad Biku Philistim Acharei Shaul. They were in hot pursuit. Dibu, Dibu means to cleave. They were cleaving to Shaul, meaning they were chasing after. Yahweh went up after his children, hot on his trail, on their trail. Vayakuf Elishim as Yoinason, and here it says that they killed the three of his children. Vayakuf Elishim as Yoinason, v'yesavin adav, v'yesmal kishua b'nei Shaul, and these three children were killed by the Pelishtim. Pasuk Gimel, v'tichbar hamulchama el Shaul, and the mulchama became heavy, he was overwhelmed by Yimtzu Hamoyrim Bakoshes, and the archers found him. The archers, their arrows found Shaul, Vayochel Min Hayorim, and he was afraid. There are different translations of the word Vayochel. Here we'll translate simply as he was terrified. Like Vatchalchal Hamalkoma Od. Esther Chil Yochaz Yoshe Plushes, terror overtook the inhabitants of Plushes. Here as well, we have the Chalchal Hamalkom Od Esther. Esther, when she came to Achashverosh, she was terrified. Chazal say that Parsanida, the terror, the fear was so great, it caused her to have some type of she was in shock, correct? Okay. And here also, by Yochim and Ayurim, that he was afraid after Shaul already saw that his three sons had died. That's the greatest horror that can possibly be, to see that his children died. We assume that we know his children died. Then he realized that he was next, and he was afraid from the Yoirim. Let's see over here the Mitzvahs and Pasuk Beis and Gimel. Vayadbiku, Berodfam, his Sigum, Bohoyu, Dvugim, Achreim, Bokreim, Lochem, that they overtook them. They pursued them, in hot pursuit, overtook them, and they were closing in on Shaul. Pasuk Gimel and the Mitzvahs, Al Shaul. Al ki kvar horgu es bonav hoisa al kopne mukham olav levad, because his children were already killed. Hoisa kopne mukham olav, ever since his children were already killed, so all of the soldiers had only one mission. There was only one mission to get the king, to get Shaul. Until now, there were many missions. There were different groups of soldiers that were trying to accomplish different tasks, enemy soldiers. But now that they have accomplished all of their goals, the only thing left to do was to find Shaul. And therefore Shaul knew that he was in a lot of trouble. Hamayrim, Hanoshim Hamayrim Bekeshes. The word Mayrim means the shooters. In ancient times, there were no such thing as guns, gunpowder. Yore means an archer. An archer, those that shoot with an arrow. Hamayrim Bekeshes, Matsu Mikoymoy. They found his location. Upochad Nehem. And he was, the Mitzudas learns, very important, Mitzudas Ha'ilam Shat, Upochad Nehem Shalo Yo'och Zuhu V'Yis'alelubo. So here the Mitzudas tells us a mouthful. The reason why he was afraid was because they would torture him. They would capture him alive, and they would do to him what they have done to Shimshon Hagibor. Okay, I saw this in the Das Sofer. Everyone knew it was not that long ago, Shimshon was tortured for many, many years. He was taken to the Plishtim, and they blinded him, they did all these horrible things. And therefore, he was afraid that he would be a source of mockery for them, and therefore, he did not want to be captured alive. So what did he do? Okay, you're reading something very deep. That's a very deep insight. I have to find the Makar for that, right? It's a Gemara. Where is
afraid to die? I don't think so. He was in
battle. Right. It doesn't say it was okay. So you're saying that what they would do to him would be a zayin. The way they would mock him would be a mockery for the malchus. Okay. Okay, fine, okay. So that's a very deep insight that he's more concerned for the covet of Klal Yisrael than for his own covet, his own honor. Okay, that could possibly be. Absolutely. Okay, so here he's afraid that they're going to torture him and mock him, will be observed for Klal Yisrael. Let's see the Apostle Dalid. Vayomer Shohul El Nosei Chelov. So Shol said to the person that carried his weapons, Shaloif, remove Char Becha, your sword. Unsheath your sword, vidokreni va, and stab me. I want you to kill me. Pen yavohu ho arelim ho elim. I'm afraid that these uncircumcised, this was a term of scorn, of derision for anyone that was not Jewish, the arelim. Pen yavohu arelim ho elim vihis alulu vidal makni. Period. But his weapon bearer refused to murder, not to refuse the mercy killing. It's a mercy killing. He refused to kill Shaul, ki yarei mo, because he realized that this was the Mashiach Hashem, the anointed. He was anointed by Shmuel. How could he go and kill the king? Ki yarei me'od, vayikach Shaul esachem. So what did he do? So he took matters into his own hand. He took the sword, vayipol alecha, and he fell upon the sword. Pasukei, vayar no sechelov ki meis. Now here is something very, very important. The one who carried his kelim so that he died. It says, Kimei Shol, Vayipol Gam Hu Alachere Vayamos, and then the Nosei Chelov himself committed suicide. It wasn't Kedayit. Let's read the Mitzvah to Rashi, then we'll read some other psukim and clarify a few important issues. Let's over here see Pasuk Dalet in the Mitzvah. Vehis'alu Lubi Liasreini Biyisri Bizoyon. I'm afraid that if they capture me alive, they will mock me, they will do to me, they'll torture me, disgraceful acts. It could be, who knows, they'll do like Mishkov, things like that, the different types of averos. Not just physical torture, but averos, which would be the ultimate b'zoyin for his neshama. Ki yorei me'od, pochad me Hashem, l'shloch yad b'meshichot. The Nosei Chelov refused to kill Shaul because he was afraid of Yerushalayim in this instance, to stretch out his hand to kill the Hashem's anointed one. So what did he do? He took matters into his own hand. Vayipol alav l'homis esatz maba. He went and he fell on his own sword, and the pasuk says he died. Let's see some of the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk aleph uplishtim nilchamu b'Yisrael. It only talks about the mapola of Shaul, the chasher bo l'saper maser David. But when it comes later, when we're going to talk about David Hamelach, einoi misaper ziluso elo givuroso ugiduloso. Why? Ki hasefer shelo ulamalche Yehuda. This is an amazing Rashi. Shocking! It's almost shocking what Rashi says. We're going to learn this parak, hopefully the whole parak today. We're going to learn about the disgrace. Ezra, who seemingly is writing this part of, that's our most unfortunate moment, Ezra wrote this part of Ezra, of Divrei Hayamim, even this parak Yud, when he makes mention of Shaul, he's very critical. In fact, he's more critical of Shaul here in Divrei Hayamim than we find in Shmuel, in Sefer Shmuel. I'll show you soon. We don't mention Shaul's sins. Shaul committed five sins, Chazal say. But in Sefer Shmuel, you have to read between the lines to find the sins. Here, at the end of the Perek, Ezra is extremely critical. He ranks them out. Do you know why this happened to Shaul? Because he did A, B, C, D, E. He did all of these terrible averos. We are extremely critical of Shaul. Yet, after we finish Perek Yud, and we go to Perek Yud Aleph, and we begin with David HaMelech, there is not one word of criticism to David from the entire Divrei Hayam. Only, as Rashi says, only Givuroso Ugiduloso, his might and his greatness, and there's no mention of Ziluso, any mention of anything degrading to David HaMelech. Why? So the answer is because that's the theme that Divrei Hayamim is David's book. And David, therefore we don't want to mention anything bad about David. It's all about Melech HaMashiach. It's about the Yichus of Melech HaMashiach comes from David, only his Milos. Shaul was rejected. Shaul came from Shevet Binyamin. He was not the king whose Malchus endured. And according to many Mepharshim, he was never meant to be, because Lo Yosor Shevet Mehudu Mechoykek Mibein Raglav. It was only meant. This is something the Maral explains. If I'm not mistaken, you'll correct me, Rabbi Chol. I saw this in the Art Scroll. Believe it or not, told the Maral, and it explains there that why did Hashem select a person from Shevet Binyamin? Because the Malchus was premature. When Klal Yisrael came to Shmuel and said, "We want a king," he ranked them out. "Why do you need a king? You have me." He was very disappointed in them. He gave them very powerful Musa. But the Torah says there should be a king. Torah says in last week's parasha, "Soim Tos Melech HaMelech." Was it last week? 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago's parasha. Last week's parasha, "Soim Tos Melech HaMelech." There has to be a king in Klal Yisrael. So the question is, so what's going on? Why was Shmuel so upset that Klal Yisrael wanted a king when the Torah says there should be a king? So there are many answers. Among the answers is, it was premature. The time that Klal Yisrael will need a king will be a generation later, or two generations later, when there will be, the Klal Yisrael will develop, they will conquer the land. There will be a little bit more distance from Matan Torah. Then the time will be ripe for there to be a king. Now? You want a king now in my lifetime? It's premature. There's no need for a king now. Now you have someone like me, a Shofet, or Navi, a Roya, on my Madrega. Klal Yisrael is on a much greater level. There's no need for a king now. It was premature. Okay, but what can I do? You're not holding where you should be. So temporarily, I'll give you a king. But I'm not going to give you the king that's meant to be for Christ. I'm going to give you a king, a temporary king, a fill-in,
interim
king, even though we haven't even had a king for the first time. And his name will be Shaul, and he will not be from Shevet Yehuda. He will be from Shevet Binyamin. He will be king, and maybe his son will, when he'll die, his son. And according to some opinions, it was meant to be that really his Malchus will endure forever, but only for Shevet Binyamin. Or only to serve as a Mishnah Lamelech to the ultimate king that will rise when Klal Yisrael is ready for what the Torah plan of Soim Tos Melech HaMelech. Yeah.
So is Shaul doomed for failure?
No, Shaul was not doomed for failure. Shaul was never meant to be. According to this in the approach, ideally, if Klal Yisrael was on a Madrega that they should have been on, there never would have been a Shaul. He would never have been studied, because the Malchus would have come at a later point in time in history, starting with David. Things would have worked out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways, and David would have come on the scene at a later point in time, and he would have been the very, very first. Number one, Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, was not holding where they should, and they wanted a king prematurely. But Hashem still did not want to ruin the divine plan, his original plan, so he appointed Shaul. But had Shaul not sinned, he would have remained as an authority in Klal Yisrael, and would have passed on this authority to his children and grandchildren forever, but not as the ultimate authority. The ultimate authority would have been David and his family.
What was Shaul's status during that temporary period?
A full-fledged melech.
Ultimate authority?
Ultimate authority.
So how would he rule?
He wouldn't live forever.
King Emeritus?
Well, not emeritus, but it's not clear how things would have worked out. There is a tradition, Lo Yosor, the bracha from Yaakov, Lo Yosor Shevet Mi Yehudu Mechoykek Mi Bein Raglav. Malchus must come from Yehuda. It appears this was well known. Shmuel gave Klal Yisrael Musar, you're asking for a king at the wrong time, in the wrong way. I will temporarily appoint a king. But it was never meant to be. It appears, according to this approach, the Ayin Panim Torah, according to this approach, it was never meant to be that Shaul's Malchus would remain as the ultimate authority in Klal Yisrael forever. Now it will serve as the ultimate authority for this generation. And if Shaul would not have sinned and died this horrible death that we're going to learn about, he would have passed on his Malchus to his children, but in a limited sense, only among his Shevet, Binyamin, and Yehuda would have ruled the rest of Klal Yisrael, or even Binyamin, even Shaul, would have to defer and share, give over. He'll be like a Mishneh LeMelech. He would serve as a governor, as the most prestigious governor, speaker of the house, he'll be the vice president, he'll be the vice president, speaker of the house, and all these other cabinet ministers combined, but not the ultimate Melech. But because Shaul failed, and the Pasukim are going to mention his failures, it was completely taken away from him, and everything was then given. We went back to the path, the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had from the very beginning to give the Malchus to David. Yeah?
So, a question, sir. Does the commentators have anything to talk about the depression, supposedly, that Shaul had? Number one. Number two, was he a weak leader? We see that, for example, with the mice with Agag.
Right. Yes, he made mistakes.
He was weak.
He made five. Chazal very clearly tell us he made five major mistakes. There are two major sins and five mistakes. There are a total of five things which Chazal criticized Shaul.
Was he depressed? Was he depressed?
Well, we don't know what that means, depression. It says in the Pesukim very clearly that there was some Ruach Ra, a spirit. Now, does that mean what we call today clinical depression? Does that mean he was a demon? He was inhibited by some Ruach Hatoma that is missing from us.
How many fathers throw a spear at their own son?
What?
How many fathers would throw?
Not as sorry, threw as David.
Yeah, but he threw it to your Nelson right at the table.
No, he screamed at him. He ranked him out. He told me, you like David more than you like your own father, then you like me, and don't you realize that if you're going to like David, then the Malchus will go to him and not to you. You're meant to be the king. Your Highness' son was meant to take over his father, and that's what... Okay, that's another issue. That's not really the topic over here of Shaul was a very obviously... Who are we to talk about criticize Shaul? I'm just reading what it says here in the Pesukim. Yeah.
Yeah. As you say, criticisms of Shaul are muted in Shoftim and expressed here, then it seems to me that the opposite is true about David. All his flaws are laid out earlier on, and maybe there's no need to...
Not necessarily. His flaw, all his flaws are laid out. Are his flaws really laid out in Sefer Shmuel? Gan Basheva, you sinned with Nasan Hanavi. Okay, you're right. It is a good point that you're saying the contrast. Here we don't mention this, and there we do mention. Okay, very well could be. You're right. Very well, because the point is this Rashi, which is just a very powerful statement. This Rashi, look at those last words. Ki Hasefer Shelo. This is David's book. It's his time. He's in the limelight, and you don't criticize David HaMelech in this sefer. But Shaul, Adrabah, he had to have a downfall so that David can rise. It's a very powerful Rashi, very powerful idea. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Gimel in the Rashis. Vayimtzu, and it's a very important Rashi. There's a lot of Musar. Vayimtzu Hamorim Akeshes. He was found by the archers. Bo-Rei, Rashi here says, Ki ein chokhma v'ein tvuna l'neged Hashem. Pasuk in Mishlei, Pasuk written in Chochmah v'ein Tfuna v'ein in Eitza K'neged Hashem. What do we mean? K'neged Hashem Darke Ish K'abset Hashem K'neged Hashem Darke Ish Binyamin Hoyu Soneim Neuflim Lufneim Bakeshes K'heim B'kiim Bakeshes T'chsivi quotes a whole number of psukim Iter Yad Yiminoi B'shoiftim. I'm not exactly sure the exact details of that Pasuk. V'chein V'yoneson Tzodo Sada Oira Lishlachli Lamatora Bishmuel. When Yohanasan, that he the test. David was to Yohanasan was to shoot arrows in a very special way in order to indicate to David if he was in trouble. Uchsiv Lamata, Binyamin Noishke Keshes, Mimino, Bechain Baosta Besefer Ze, Binyamin Noise Mogain Vidorche Keshes. Okay, he quotes four different sources. Now I don't look up the sources, but he quotes four psukim that indicate that Binyamin, Shevet Binyamin, were the best archers in Klal Yisrael. It was their specialty. Everyone has their specialty. Binyamin were known to be the elite in shooting arrows. And yet, who here was it? How did Shaul, who was from Shevet Binyamin, die? He died by someone else shooting at him. So how could that be? You know, if you're an expert, so you'll know what to do, how to avoid being shot at. Just like you're an expert, you know how to shoot the arrow, you also know how to be on the defense to protect yourself from being shot at. So that's exactly the Musa. The Musa is Ein Chochma, V'Ein Tuna, V'Ein Eitzah Neged Hashem. You can be the biggest expert, but if Hashem wants, Hashem will bring about the person's downfall through his own expertise. He will outsmart himself because Hashem wants that. That's the Musar Haskel. Don't think that you can outsmart HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is in control and he will do what he wants. And that's what Rashi concludes. Even though I've cited with you four places where we find Binyamin with the best experts, Avul Kesha Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sar Me'al Shahul, when Hashem removed his divine presence from Shahul, Nafal B'yad Rove Keshes, he fell through an archer. B'davar shehu nasa, in the same matter which he was an expert. K'vayochel min hayarim k'mavatis chalchal hamalka, like Esther Hamalka, she was terrified, she was in shock, and therefore here as well, he was very afraid, he was terrified that they might capture him alive, they might torture him. Now here, let me just quote from the passage in Shmuel Beis.
He couldn't stand the sight of what he saw, so, doesn't make it right, it just, that's what he did.
It's Rabbi Levine. I read it's a modern day Shaila in the sense of, let's say, Israeli intelligence agents being captured.
Right. What should they, the cyanide pills? Should they go and
take pills?
Yeah. So this is a.
Pills.
I just came here. Who jumped in where?
What?
Who jumped in where?
We're talking about Shaul. Shaul went, he gave up his life. Shaul HaMelech gave up his life, no, not to be captured by the Plishtim. Okay, so this is something which is an interesting topic that is discussed here by Shaul and by his Neisek. Okay, one other thing I did want to mention. I don't remember. I don't in this moment. Okay, let's go further. Okay,
so did they switch weapons between Shmuel and
did they switch weapons?
There was I think in Shmuel you read it was a spear, and here we said it was a sword.
Okay, I'm not sure. I didn't notice that. I don't know. I have to look at that more carefully. Okay, let's go further. Okay, so we have over here. We have over here this. Okay, Vayamas Shol v'Shosh. We have over here this story of Pasuk Ches Vahimi Mocharos. Okay. Okay, Pasuk Vav Vayamas Shol. So Shol died. At this point, Ushloish has bana v'chol beitzo yacht of mates. All of this, the whole family, they died together. By Yeru.
Shmuel says that only Yonasan died. Yonasan died.
I'm not sure. Only Yonasan died. It says there. I'm reading here Shmuel Beis, which is a report. Which is a report. You have to go look back in Shmuel Aleph when it actually happened. It could be that there's more details that I mentioned over there. So I don't know. Okay, let's go now to Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Vav Vayamas Shol Shloish Bana V'Chol Beis So Yachtov Meisu Pasuk Zayin Vayiru Kol Ish Yisrael Asher Be'emek Hinasu. All of the Jewish people that were in the valley saw Kinasu, V'chimesu Shol, that the army fled, V'chimesu Shol Bona, V'yazvu Orehem, they abandoned their cities, V'yanusu, they fled, V'yavo Pelishtim, they came to V'yavo Pelishtim, V'yishu Bohem, they abandoned those cities, and the Pelishtim occupied that territory. Pasuk Ches, they fled. The people that were living in these cities, the Gilboa and its surrounding villages and cities, those Jewish people fled because they were conquered by the Plishtim. So the Plishtim now, by Yeshu Bohem, the Plishtim lived now in these cities. Pasuk Ches, Vayhi b'Mocharos, it was the next day, Vayavo Plishtim, Lefashet Es HaChalolim, the next day arrived, the Plishtim came to Lefashet to remove, to strip the chalolim, the slain, the victims, to take their clothing and their weapons and their valuables, to take away all the spoils. Vayimtsu, and to their surprise, they discover Vayimtsu es shohol v'yespanov noif lemahar gilboa, which means they did not even know who they were shooting at. They thought they were shooting at some Jews, some ordinary soldiers, some civilians. And little did they realize, they actually went and they shot the king, which also adds to the bizayon of how the king was killed. He wasn't even killed in a dignified way. One thing, you go and you capture the king is killed over here, he was killed as an ordinary person. So what happened? Vayav shituhu, they took off his clothing, vayisu es roshav yes kelov, and they carried his head and his kelov, and his utensils, and they sent them throughout the entire land of the Plishtim to brag, to show that look what happened, we have conquered the Jewish king. To announce es means to, el, to their idols and to the people. It was a big thing that if the nation was victorious in war, they would go and they would go to their church and thank their God. It's only because of you we have survived, we have prevailed in this war, which of course was not true. But that was the way they believed. These false beliefs. The reason why an idol is called Atzah Behem, Loshon of Otsef, sadness. Because ultimately, anyone that believes in an idol will become sad when he later in life realizes that he lived a life of lies. His whole life he's been living a lie, and he comes to sadness when he realizes that it can't help you. What?
Kesef is a ho, I say.
Right, so it's a reference, that's a name, is a term that is used in reference to an idol. Now one thing I want to get into, I want to mention is why would, when he fell on his sword, the coin, it fell on his neck. That's what Hamad Farshim explained. Why did he die, Shaul die? This is a very frightening idea. Why did Shaul die with his on his neck? Well, let's go a few psukim and then we'll bring out this point in the next pasuk. Oh, we're going right now. That's what we're going to discuss. Let's read the psukim. Let's read the psukim. Vayasimu es kelov beis elokehem, the beis elokehem. They brought the utensils, meaning the clothing and the weapons and all of the possessions of Shaul to their church. The S Gul Golto Soku Beis Dagon. They decapitated Shaul. They chopped off his head, his dead body. They separated his head. What?
The skull.
The head is a skull.
The skulled?
Skull.
Skull. They put his gul gol to soku, they hung up Beis Dagon. Now Beis Dagon is their god. We find Beis Dagon, not a fish. Maybe it's a fish. Some mermaids. They worship this thing called Dagon. Okay. So this they took his skull and they hung it in this place called Beis Dagon. Now why Dagon? If you remember the Plishtim, this was the men of Avodah Zarah, and they were humiliated when they captured the Aron, and the Aron was brought, they put the Aron near the Beis Dagon, and they woke up the next day and Dagon was in pieces. The head and the body parts of Dagon were lying on the floor, so they felt humiliated when Dagon was crumbled because of the Aron. So now when they captured the Mashiach Hashem, it was like revenge. We're now going to take the head of their king, the Jewish king, we're going to put him up, hang up and sit opposite Dagon to show that we have restored your honor. They restored the honor of Dagon by showing that we've captured, we've taken revenge against the Jewish people. And here they decapitated us. And the first thing, so why did it happen that Shaul had to have this bizayon where his head was separated from his body? And the answer given is that when the Torah describes Shaul for the very first time and tells about his malice, it says that Mishuchmai Ulamala, from his shoulders and up, there was no one as beautiful and tall as Shaul. So the Chazal, the Torah, the Psukim describes Shaul from his shoulders and up, his neck up, right? The neck up, he was unique. That doesn't just mean physically unique, it means spiritually unique. This is where his koichos lie, from the neck up. Now when he failed, he committed these five averos, which we're going to mention soon, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him and showed the world that Hashem holds a person accountable, and if you fail, you're going to be responsible, is by having his head from the neck and up, it being separated and it being put on display in front of the Avodah Zarah. Now we have the people from Yovesh Gilad. Ace kol asher osu filishtim l'shol. They heard what happened. Vayikum, they got up, kol ish chayil, every warrior. Vayisu eskufas shol. They went and they had a special mission, covert mission, to go penetrate into enemy lines and to go and to retrieve the body. They were not able to retrieve the head of Shaul, because that was in the Avodah Zarah, but they were able to retrieve at least his body. The guf of Shaul, the eskufas one of the bodies of his children, Yevesha, and they bore it to Yevesha, and they buried his bones, tachas oilam beneath the tree of Yevesh, vayitzumu shivasim, they fasted for 7 days. Pasuk Yud Gimel, vayam Shaul b'maloi Asher Moal, Shaul died. Here, Ezra says, you know why he died? Because of the sin Asher Moal, because of the transgression of Hashem. Here we have a whole long list. Al Devar Hashem Asher Loi Shomar, the matter which he did not guard. Now we'll see what this means in a few moments. The Gam Lishol. So what is in the right? So there are many things alluded to. Number one, he did not kill Agag. Number two, when Shmuel met him for the very first time, he told him that I want you to wait for me. I want you to bring a carbon, and I want you to wait until I arrive. And he failed to wait. He was in a rush. And the people were putting pressure on him to offer the carbon, so he offered the carbon premature before Shmuel returned. And that was considered to be a very grave transgression, not to listen, obey the command of Shaul, to wait for Shmuel, to wait for him to return. What else did he do? V'gam lishol ba'ov lidrosh. He was shoyl ba'ov v'yidoni, that when he was afraid, what should he do in the battle, he went to the switch, and he had her bring up the spirit of Shmuel Hanavi and ask him what to do. Should I go fight? Should I not fight? Should I retreat or should I go fight? You're not allowed to ask from the dead to bring up the dead. This is an Isser Derais and Torah for the Zechi of Misa. So you're not allowed to do this, and he made this mistake. Lishol ba'ov lidrosh, to ask with the ov is some type of bone. You take a bone, you put it under your armpit, and it brings up the spirit of the dead. Lidrosh, to seek out the spirit of a dead person. Pasuk Yudalid, v'loy darash b'Hashem. He was not darish b'Hashem. He did not seek out a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Means he did not go seek out the Urim v'Tumim. He did not seek out a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see what this means in a few moments. Vayim Yiseyu, and he died. Hashem brought about his death. And now really comes the pasuk which leads into the main bulk of Divrei Hayam. Probably everything we've learned until now really. Well, the whole yichus of the entire Klal Yisrael, of all the people from the time of my separation from until now, leads to these words: "Vayaseib es hamalucho leDavid ben Yishai." Hakadosh Baruch Hu turned; he transferred the malucha to David, the son of Yishai. Let's see the mitzudos, then we'll see the Rashi's, then we'll finish up. Let's go to the pasuk very quickly. Through these, through only a few mitzudos. Pasuk, the pasuk tests. Vayisu es rosho, korsu oso menaguf v'natlua. The Pelishtim decapitated Shaul. Es atzabehem kohane ho'avodas gilulun. They brought the head to the priests of the temple, of their Avodah Zarah. V'es gilgaltoi, they took gulgolto, his skull. B'shmuel aleph, hiskir shetoku givyoso. So he's asking a very important question. There's a discrepancy there in Sefer Shmuel, makes mention about his body, and here it discusses his head. So the answer is, Umashe sosam shom gilakan. This is a yesod for the entire Sefer Divrei Hayamim. They're both Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There are certain details that are mentioned there, and they're not mentioned here, and vice versa. So there we focus on his body, here we focus on his head. Pasuk Yud Gimel, b'malo. Why did this happen to Shaul? Because of his transgression. Balvur malo, because of his sin. Chayiz meforish, and what is the sin? So here we go. Al devar Hashem asher lo shamar. What was that? What does that refer to specifically? Did not guard the word of HaKadosh Baruch according to the Mitzudos. Lim chayiz es, like you said before, to go and to cut, to wipe out Amalek, the whole entirely, to kill out Agag, the women, the children, the animals. The gam ashechata lishol ba'ov lidrash bo'asidos, to ask Ov, what should he do in the future? Should he go to battle? Should he not go to battle? Pasuk Yudalid, v'loy darash, ki af shadarash v'loy nene, k'masha mishmul. Over here the pasuk says he was not darish b'Hashem, meaning that he should have went and seeked out the Urim v'tumim, That's the proper thing to do, to go. He did not do so. The question is, he did so. It says Beferish and Shmuel that Shaul did go to the Kohen and ask him through the Urim V'Tumim. The only problem was, there was no answer. So what then does the meaning of Loi Darash? Mikol Makom, Hoy Loi Lidrash, unbelievable Mitzudas, how we learn Shana Pasek, Lidrash, V'Lachzor V'Lidrash, U'Lahavtzer B'Tfilah V'Hu Loi Osek. And this is an amazing Mitzudas. It's not the typical type of Mitzudas. This is something where you find in the Radak, a more type of that he should have tried harder. The Pasuk here criticizes Shaul for not being Shaul through the Urim V'Tumim enough, even though again it says explicitly in Sefer Shmuel that Shaul went to the Urim V'Tumim and he asked, should I go to war, should I not go to war? And the Urim V'Tumim did not answer, okay, you're not going to answer me? I'm not going to go to the Oiv, I'm going to go to this witch in Ein Dar, she's going to tell me what to do, she's going to bring up the spirit of Shmuel Navi. So here the Pasuk says he was not Dorish, but he was Dorish. He was not Dorish enough. Just because Hashem didn't answer you once, ask again. Just because you daven, how many times do you daven a day? 3 times. Why 3 times? That's derech of tool. You have to keep on asking over and over again until you succeed. What? The Dak also says this. He also says this. But this is something which is like this is like a Musa type of thing which is not typical of you should have done it multiple times. Multiple times. Okay, let's see over here the Rashi's very quickly. Rashi Pasuk Yibes Vayivim Yivesha Liyavishki Lo Vayitzimu Shivasim Lefesa 7 days. Lom Moshe Atzman Besakonim Lekachas Gufa Yishol Bonav Mehar Gilboa Yosem Yishol Yishol. Why was it the people of Yavishki Lo? Now by the way, Yavishki Lo is part of Menashe. They are on the other side of the Yarden. So they had to go across the Yarden and go into enemy territory to go retrieve the body of Shaul. Why the people of Yavesh Shkilad more than the people of the rest of Klal Yisrael? The answer is because it was reciprocation. Because when they were at a time of Tzara, Shaul came to defend them and to fight for them and to save their lives. So therefore they reciprocated by now going back into enemy lines and retrieving his body. Lefisha also lechem Shaul toiva. Shaul did for them in his lifetime a very great kindness. Sheid silom kishaola nochash ramoni. He saved them when nochash ramoni aleim ascended against them. Uchneged oisam. Why 7 did they mourn 7 days? Because corresponded to the 7 days that he helped them. What do we mean? Uchneged oisam shivas yom shenasnu lechem zman im yovel lechem moshia for yutzamim. They were fasting umesanim ula yovel lechem moshia ubashol vehoshia. When the nochash ramoni came to destroy them, they pleaded with Nochash Ramoni, give us 7 days to prepare to surrender. And during those 7 days, when they prepared to surrender, they were in the Spalo. And during those 7 days, Shaul was planning an attack to save the people of Yavesh Gilad. So being that this whole event of the Shaul saving them took place over a 7-day period of time, that's why they reciprocated by mourning for Shaul for 7 days. That's Rashi's first interpretation. And then Rashi goes on to say, simply, another reason why that he did that, there are 7 days of Avelos, oh, but then now, why were they mourned 7 days? They only mourned 7 days for a relative. So Rashi here tells something very interesting, that the people of Menashe were mechutanim with the people of Binyamin. Because we know that after the Maisa Plegish Begiva, there were very few men left in Shevet Binyamin, and there were not enough women among them to marry. So what did they do? So they had to go, they had to go and marry from a different Shevet. They made a special Rosha. They can go out to the Mechol, they can go out to the dance, and the boys can grab girls from the other Shvatim. Which Shevet, not all the other Shvatim, let their daughters go out to the dance? Because they didn't want to be chavt as Shevet Binyamin, because Shevet, there was still a stigma attached to Shevet Binyamin. The only ones that were very willing to let their daughters be married to the people of Binyamin was Yavesh Gilad, the Shevet of Menashe. After the aftermath of Pelegesh Begiva, Yavesh Gilad, this town, were the primary source of girls for the men in Binyamin who cannot find wives. So Menashe and Binyamin became the Chutanim. They were related through marriage. Therefore, when Shaul was captured, they went. Not only did they go and they save them, did they say they retrieved the bodies, but they also mourned for 7 days, not only because the incident took place for 7 days, but because simply they were mechutanim, they were relatives, kigam kreveim hayu kishaharigu Yisrael es Yoshe Giva, because their relatives when Yisrael killed As Yoshua Giva, B'maisa Pilegish B'Giva, Nasnu Anshe Yavish B'Nasem L'Binyamin, so they're the ones who give the rest of Binyamin, Kishachot from Minamachot, when they grab them from the dances. Okay, there are a few other little midrashim which maybe we'll go over tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here.